Talk today about what a hargasha actually is. We began discussing this last time. We mentioned the three possibilities within the Pesachei Tshuva. We also noted how the Rishonim, for the most part, don't describe what a hargasha is. We talked about why that might be. We mentioned the two different ways that you could read Rashi on Daf Gimel. And we began noting the Rambam in Parakei of Hilchos Yisurei Bia, which is the source for one of the types of hargashos, namely Mizdaza Evareha. The Rambam over there says the following: Ha'isha sheshtina mayim v'yatza dam imeme raglayim bein sheshtina mana v'yomedes bein sheshtina v'yoshenes harezu tahora v'afilu hirgish gufa v'nizdaza eina choshashas shehargashas meraglayim hizu shein meraglayim in acheder. So a woman sees dam b'mei raglayim, and based off of her position, we won't get into the details of this just yet, we'll get there b'ezras Hashem kuf tadi aleph, but based off of the way in which it came out, we know that this is not dam nidetz dam maka, and the Rambam emphasizes, even if she had a hargasha. So the Pesachei Tshuva says, you see, from here we can derive what the Rambam's hargasha is, or at the very least, what would constitute a hargasha for the Rambam. It might not be the only hargasha. And that's where he gets nizdaze vareha. Now, the lashon of the Rambam, though, is not so clear. He writes, v'afilu hirgish gufa v'nizdaza eina choshashas. The Pesachei Tshuva seems to understand what that means is dehainu nizdaza, v'afilu hirgish gufa, dehainu nizdaza, still eina choshashas. The reason why that's not the obvious reading of the Rambam is because that's not what the Rambam says. The Rambam doesn't say dehainu. He said, afilu hirgish gufa v'nizdaza. Now, that almost sounds like two things happened. She had hargasha and nizdaza. But why would that be? Why is that significant? Which is why the Pesachei Tshuva assumed he meant dehainu nizdaza. But is there another way to read this Rambam? Sorry, Willard quotes from Rabbi Chezkel Roth, who's a sefer called Chezkas Tara. It's a very interesting sefer. And he says, no, we should read Kipshuto, which is ve'afilu nizdaza gufa, sorry, afilu hirgish gufa v'nizdaza. In other words, the nizdaza isn't the hargasha, as he says, afilu hirgish gufa. So they're two different things. Well, what's the pshat? And he also adds, he says, besides the lashon of the Rambam, why would you confuse nizdaza vareha with meraglayim? I don't know if I'm convinced with that question. But anyway, so what's the pshat in the Rambam? The problem of the pshat in the Rambam is that having experienced this hargasha as a reaction to the hargasha, nizdaza evareha. She was nizdaza. She had this hargasha, the nizdaza, still eina choshesh. Well, why does he need the nizdaza? Now, there's the chiddush. She had a hargasha, still eina choshesh because of her position. No, the chiddush, you might have thought that the nizdaza sort of is misames the hargasha. It makes us even more confident that this is hargasha of dam nida, in which case she would be asura. No. Nevertheless, even though hirgish gufa and nizdaza, still she's muteres because it's hargashas meraglayim hizu. That's an alternative reading of the Rambam, in which case there is no source for nizdaza being a hargasha. Now, you could still argue that it might be true misfara. In other words, if nizdaza is associated with a woman becoming a nida, and we'll return to that possibility shortly, but at least within the lashon of the Rambam, there might not be any indication that nizdaza is a hargasha. So what then is a hargasha? So the trumas hadeshen is the easiest possibility, the feeling of psichas pi amakor, or perhaps psichas pi amakor lahotzi dam. We'll see a little later, there's a machlokas, how to understand the statement of the Trumas Hadeshen. I think we'll talk about that probably when we do Kuf Tzadi. Rav Moshe thinks it's not just Hargashas Psichas Pi Amakor, But it's hargashas psichas piha makor lahotzi dam. Otherwise, you get to issues of yefshal psichas akaveh below dam. We'll get there. But that seems to be the pretty straightforward definition, though some point out that there are no nerves in that area of the body, in which case it might be impossible to feel that. Now, what about the Nota Bihuda? The third possibility that the Pesachei Teshuva mentions is Zivas Davar Lach, and that is discussed at length in the Nota Bihuda. The Teshuva was in your Makoros. And the Nota Bihuda brings an interesting raya that this should exist. And part of this discussion relates to knowing the metzias of a woman, both, I guess, the way doctors understand it nowadays, as well as the way Chazal / Rishonim / Achronim understand it. Now, the latter is no easy feat. There's a big machlokes Rishonim, seemingly, we could call it between Rashi and the Rambam, and there's a big machlokes what any of them meant. I'll send you out a very fascinating article from Professor Leo Levy on this topic. He has a theory, Bidas Rashi, that's against everybody else, but actually argues that Rashi Shita does in fact more or less correspond to the way doctors understand the Metzius nowadays. It's a very compelling theory, though I'm not sure if we pop in that way. We'll talk about it in a moment. But I do hope, over the course of the year, once or maybe twice, to have professionals discuss this matter, because I'm not a professional. I'm hoping we could get Dr. Chudnov to discuss both the Metzius of Chazal, the Metzius as doctors understand it nowadays, and maybe also at the end of the year to discuss issues of Maka and other issues where expertise in medicine is helpful, perhaps birth control questions and the like. So I'm hoping to leave that work to a professional. Also, in your Makoro sheets, in the one labeled zero, there's two versions of zero, depending on which one you want to look at, but there's some further Makoros on this topic. And Bli Neder, I'll email you Professor Levy's article, which as I said, is really excellent. I'm not sure if Halacha we accept it. Ray Willig is very convinced by it. Again, I don't know if he would accept it, Lahalacha, but it's very, very compelling reading. I guess any time the Metzius corresponds to what the Gemara and Rishonim say, you're going to feel it's compelling. Anyway, so he says like this, Nerolani as daiti, deha, this is the Nota Bihuda, deha fargasha zivas davalach chashiv hargasha, we don't need dafka psichas pi amakor, dare ikar hargasha yala shmuel mibzara shetargish bivzara, v'hare hai basar lav al basar hamekor kai. When we say bivzara, so are we talking about the mekor? No, we're not. How do we know that? We're back to what we talked about last time, namely that the same drush is used to teach, or the same words are used to teach me metame kebifnim kebachutz as well as hargasha. So he says, well, when we talk about bifnim kebachutz, what part of the body are we talking about? When does she become tamea? When the dam leaves min hashinayim velachutz. He's referring to a Gemara, which we'll talk about in one moment, but he understands basically that the Pia Makor is further in. When we say out, we mean closer to the outside of her body. When we say in, we mean further up within her body, further from, you know, closer to the Makor, as opposed to closer to the outside of her body. So he says the following. He says that when does she become Tamea? Min hashinayim v'lachutz. Now that's further out from the makor. V'imkein ha'bisara ha'ina b'sara shemin hashinayim v'lachutz. V'imkein gam shetargish b'sara ha'inu basar zeh v'harei zeh kvar hu chutz l'pesach ha'makor. So she becomes tamea not at the time that the blood leaves the makor, but further out. And that is where the hargasha must take place, because we're talking about the same words in the Torah. And therefore, it must be that the hargasha of Zivas Davar Lach is a hargasha as well. Fine, That's what he says, and he tries to bring further raios for this. Now, the truth is that the simple reading of the Gemara, Nun Zayin Beis, sounds a little bit like the Note of Behuda, because the Gemara over there says that Hargashas Aid and Hargashas Shamash mask the Hargasha. Now, L'cha'ora, and again, this also relates to the Metzias Shaila. We'll talk about this more, how far in the Aid has to go and how far the Shamash goes and the like. But for now, the Pashup Shot is that when she's doing her bedika, right? She's inserting her finger ba'oso makom, or during Tashas Shemitah, the Aver is ba'oso makom, right? We're talking there about the vaginal canal. We're not talking about into the makor. So it's reasonable that if that's where the confused hargasha takes place, a sensation in that area, a sensation in the vaginal canal, is confused with the hargashas damnida, so it makes sense. It stands to reason that the hargasha is also there. In other words, she would confuse, you know, the liquid flowing down the vagina with the bedika cloth entering the vaginal canal. They're the same area. It makes sense that they would be confused, as opposed to psichas pia makor, which is much further in. Like Rashi says, emor hargashas eid havai, shetziarta bedikas eid, right? She feels this bedikas eid, and she says, oh, that's a hargasha. Well, if you think hargasha is, again, the feeling of something happening in the vaginal canal, and it makes sense to say that, so both of these, hargashas eid and hargashas damnida, are something happening, some sensation, some feeling in a vaginal canal, and memela, the two will be easily confused. And therefore, the simple reading of the Gemara, I don't think this is a Raya Mochrachas. If you think it doesn't make sense, you're not going to change your mind based off of this, but it does very much sound like the Note of Behuda's Pshat. So why would anybody object to the Note of Behuda? So there are two objections in the Achronim. First we'll do the Chavos Das, then the Chassam Sofer. The Chavos Das offers the following objection. Now, this is only a Suffolk objection, because the Chavos Das is unsure what the Note of Behuda actually says about this. And again, this goes back to the Metzias question to some degree. But it seems like, thank you, from the Note of Behuda, that any zivas davar lach in the vaginal canal would constitute a hargasha. Surely, like Rav Moshe points out in discussing the Note of Behuda, feeling something lach chutz legufa, once the liquid has actually left her body, like on the outside of her body, on her underwear, or the like, that would certainly not be hargasha. But the Note of Behuda does seem to assume that anything all along the vaginal canal would, any zivas davar lach all along that canal would constitute a hargasha. Now, if so, the Chavos Das says, well, then something really doesn't make sense. Why? Let's think about it. When does she become Tameya? Earlier. Certainly, before the end of the vaginal canal, right? But a zivas davar lach, let's say, at the end of the vaginal canal, constitutes hargasha. Well, how could you have a hargasha after she's already a nida? Presumably, there's one moment that we care about, right? Mitama kibifnim kibachutz, when the blood crosses the threshold whereby she could become tameya. Again, there's a machlokes in the Gemara, three different opinions in the Gemara, Mem Aleph Amud Beis, where that is, right? Reish Lakish says it's further out. Kol Shetinokes Yosheves Benira. Rabbi Yochanan says Bein Hashinayim. Masnisa Tana Makom Disha, meaning to say Makom Shashanish Dash. Okay, there are different questions exactly, different opinions where it happens. But there is some threshold, right? Wherever it is, where when the blood passes this threshold, that's when she becomes a nida. And presumably, if there's a hargasha at that point, she becomes a nida midaraisa. And if there's not, she doesn't. How could you have a situation where the dam passes that threshold, right, and there is no hargasha, so she's not a nida midaraisa? And then, you know, 3 minutes later, as it goes further down the vaginal canal, she feels the zivas davar lach, and then she says, oh, that's hargasha. So, how does that work? That hargasha took place after the critical moment. The critical moment is earlier. So, if you were to say that the Noda Bihuda only meant a Zivas Davar Lach at that earlier point, so then the Chavos Das would have no objection to the Noda Bihuda. And in fact, that is the Chavos Das's opinion. But the Stimas Lash of the Noda Bihuda implies that anywhere along the Prostor, there is the possibility of a Hargasha actually causing her to become a Nida. In which case, again, imagine the blood left, and then a minute later she has Hargasha. And then when is she Tmeya? Lama Freya? Mikhan Laba? Doesn't make sense, says the Noda Bihuda. How could it be? Umashma Midvarav. Deafilu Bargashas Shedavar Lach Zav Biprostor. Afilu Lo Yargisha Bishasha Zav. Gam Ken Mimakora. Mikri Hargasha Vutamua. Right? And therefore he concludes, Amnam Nira Debainan Shatargish Shazav Mimikora. Dimlo Hirgisha Shazav Mimikora. Raksha Margesha Shazav Biprusdor Nira de Tahora. Kevan Shebisha Shinafal Mamakor Lapruzdor Lo Hirgisha. Rahmana Tare Ladam Shabasha Lo Bargasha. Me Ayan Yaskil Atumo Biprusdor. Where is it gonna start? So the Chavos Das says the following. This is his conclusion. Wherever that critical moment is, for we'll use his lashon. And as I said, part of the difficulty in understanding the sugya is that it relates to the Metzius question, which we're not yet up to studying. That's always an issue with every limud, including Hilchos Nida, that the things that you need to know now you don't learn till later. But hopefully we'll get to that also at the right time. I was thinking of doing that more when we do Kufni Aleph. But the point is that if the Hargasha of the Zivas Davar Lach takes place when the Dam leaves the Makor, at that critical moment, at that time when she would become Asura, then he fully agrees. You don't need Hargashas Psichas Pia Makor. Hargashas Zivas Davar Lach is also sufficient. But if at that critical moment you didn't have the Hargasha, then Hargasha later on, later further out, further down in the Prusdor, is Lomal of Lomorid, because since she didn't become a Nida at that first time, she can't become a Nida subsequently. So the yes. So
the point is that, what's the difference between Tzitzas and Makor and
Zivas? It's just, well, they're simultaneous. The Chiddush is, you don't know from the Tumas Hadeshen, and maybe only feeling the Makor open is Hargasha, says the Chavos Das. No, I agree with the Noda Bihuda that the sensation of just feeling liquid, I can't describe it, feeling liquid flow is sufficient. Perhaps the Trumas Hadeshen wouldn't agree. Perhaps he would, but perhaps the Trumas Hadeshen would say, no, you need the sensation of the opening of the orifice. And that is a Hargasha, but feeling a liquid flow is not. No, I agree with the Noda Bihuda that that does constitute a Hargasha. And maybe the Trumas Hadeshen would agree.
The Trumas Hadeshen might have just meant any feeling associated.
If that's what he meant, if the Trumas Hadeshen meant any feeling associated with the Dam leaving the Makor, then he would agree. But he didn't say that, so we don't know. I don't think that the they didn't want to disagree with the Trumas Hadeshen, but he didn't say it, so they're saying it. Dovi, you had a question before. No, yeah.
What's the problem with proposing the idea that it's a range of areas?
Okay, good. So now let's consider exactly what the Noda Bihuda might respond to the Chavos Das's question. And I think we could consider four possibilities. One possibility is that the Noda Bihuda didn't actually say what the Chavos Das claimed he said. And even the Chavos Das is somewhat unsure. It's cryptic. In other words, maybe the Chavos Das and the Noda Bihuda are actually saying the same thing. Possibility two, assuming though that the Chavos Das is correct and they are in fact disagreeing. So how would we justify that? So one possibility is exactly what you were saying. And you can look at this a couple of ways, but one way to look at it is going back to what we say, Metama bifnim kebachutz. So let's imagine we didn't have that drasha. So what would we have thought? We would have thought that when does she become Tamei? When does she become Asura? When the Dam goes lachutz, when it actually leaves her body. Kamash malan, she's Metama bifnim kebachutz. Well, maybe that means that it's not like we're okay what we originally thought. We're adding to it. Not only that, but she could also become Timea mibifnim, meaning, say, when it leaves her makor. But also, mibachutz. In other words, any time, like you were saying, a range, any time between the time that the dam leaves her makor till the time that it leaves her body, that is a time where she could become a nida. And therefore, if she had Hargasha during that entire span, that would be a valid Hargasha. We're not oker the original understanding, we're adding the original understanding, even Matana Kebifnim. But also, any time until it leaves would be a valid time. This is almost lafuke, against the what the case that the Pisrei Tshuva is trying to make. Pisrei Tshuva is arguing against this possibility. I think it's Sifkat and Beis, or Gimel, the second or third one. So he says that's wrong. But the Shoel over there, and some of the other Achronim quote, considered this possibility. So maybe that's exactly what the Noda Yehuda says. There's not one critical moment. The Kash, the Chavos Das, was there's one critical moment. You have to have Hargash at that point. And if not, then okay, it's down below Hargasha. Maybe there's a range. Or you could say it a little differently. You could say it's something like Mitla Tali Vekai, until it leaves the body, and she would be Tamei L'Mafreya, or not. Interesting way to think about it. I think there are actually some rayos both for and against this from some of the Rishonim, but maybe we'll, they relate to sugyas that we haven't seen yet, so maybe we'll bring them up when we get there. The second possibility is to say, I'm sorry?
The third possibility?
The second, we'll call it the third, I said the first one. Third possibility is that if you assume, like those shitos, Rashi, the Rid, Ma'achor Zerua, perhaps, and the like, that Hargasha isn't a Tanai, but it's a Raya, or the like, that the Dam is Min HaMakor, so then you could also very easily understand why a Hargasha later on would still be that Raya. In other words, the Chavos Das was assuming that Hargasha is a Tanai, and therefore, if it doesn't happen at the critical moment, then you're good. The time has passed. The more you see Hargasha as a Raya, that this is Damin HaMakor or the like, which is the Mashmos of certainly some of the Rishonim and also Achronim as well, so then the objection doesn't even begin. Because the fact, it's true, in theory, the critical moment was 30 seconds ago, but the fact that she had Hargasha still in her body, in the Prozdor, shows that this is Damin HaMakor, and this is considered Dam Nida Midaraisa. Yeah.
Doesn't that make the drasha of Mim Kibachot very strange? Because how are you going to know when it goes back itself? Meaning, this is just a simon of what happened earlier. How are you going to know the start point of the Tumah? Because the Hargasha was still after.
You might have noticed it. Okay. You so still become a Nida even if you don't notice it. Presumably, it would. It would. No, no, no. It would be. It could. It would be Lamafraya. But you know, obviously, you can't know about it until it leaves. Until you feel it.
So if you're not going to be able to sense when it's actually
so, okay.
The area.
So then, you know, it's risky business.
So you have this.
Well, she became Tamea when it entered the Beis Achitza. And you might know about it immediately. The Noda Yehuda doesn't necessarily disagree with the Trumas Hadeshen's Hargasha. You might also not notice it for a couple seconds. But when you do notice it a couple seconds later, it's a raya that this is Dam and HaMakor. And once it's Dam and HaMakor, then she's a Nida Deraisa. So that's another.
Should we just have to be cheshes from.
Okay, you have a question. Practically, how does that carry out? And that relates to the sugya of Tamil Mafreya and the like. Yeah?
We would see this as typical to take the Noda Yehuda's Shadazi Vastavravach and combine it with Hargasha being a simon. We have colors that come out of the Makor that we know are not Amiga, meaning there
that's not a Raya. Everybody's going to agree that, let's say she has a Hargasha of any sort, whether it's Hargashas, Psichas, Pia Makor, like actually the context of the Trumas Hadeshen that he's talking about, right? He's talking about over there, a woman has a Hargasha, Psichas, Pia Makor, and then she sees what comes out later and she says, oh, this is not Dam Tame, this is green, this is fine, I'm okay, right? That's not a problem. Nobody's going to say that Hargasha, when associated with, well, I don't know nobody, but Halacha, we certainly don't accept that Hargasha, when associated with something that's Tahor, is okay. So the point is, she has this Hargasha, and then she sees Dam actually leave her body a couple minutes later, so she's going to attribute this Dam to that Hargasha, and that will be a simon that it's Min HaMakor. If it turns out it's green, so then it's fine, even if it is from the Makor, we don't really care. Okay, the fourth possibility is if you learn like Professor Levy, so then it also makes sense. Why? Because, again, without getting into too much details, there's a word in Hebrew that is prosdor. right? What is the prosdor? So one possibility is the prosdor is the whole vaginal canal. Some might say it even includes the parts of the cervix, or maybe even the whole cervix. It's a big machloka sachronim. But in English, what would you translate prosdor as? Vestibule. There happens to be a part of the woman's body called a vestibule. And Professor Levy says that's what the prosdor is, which is quite external. It's quite external. The way he understands the Gemara is that everything, as I said, at least Bedas Rashi, he acknowledges this isn't the opinion of the Rambam, but at least Bedas Rashi, everything is pushed way out compared to what was traditionally understood. And if you make that assumption, then the whole sugya corresponds to the Metzias that we know of today. So the question is, when does she become a nida, for example, a mem alpha and a base? So Reish Lakish says, kol shetinokes yosheves veniris, which is quite external, right? That's, you know, like it says, tinokos yosheves, you know, what you see when you look at a baby sitting without her diaper on, okay? So Reish Rav Yochanan says, no, that's too far. El Rav Yochanan, ad bein hashinayim. What's bein hashinayim? So he says that's the vulva, the external opening of the vagina, which is only slightly more internal. As I said, I'll send you the Makoros, the article. You could read it and the like. But one way or the other, if you learn like him, now I'm not sure the Noda Yehuda learned like him, but the Noda Yehuda's Shita works very nicely with his position, because then you're basically going to... The Chavos Das is absolutely correct, and the Noda Yehuda is correct, because basically any hargasha in the vaginal canal would actually be a hargasha before that critical moment. The critical moment isn't way up in the Makor. The critical moment is way down, almost, in three opinions in the Gemara, but almost when it leaves the body. So then, in a chanami, there's no stira whatsoever. So anyway, these are some of the possibilities. And again, I hope we'll have a professional who actually knows what he's talking about, not like me, give us a shear on more of the details of this topic. Okay, so what do the poskim say? Right, we have the three opinions, and as I said, oh, and the Chavos Das, the Chazonit, the Chasam Sofer, basically disagrees with the whole notion that a zivas davar lach would constitute a hargasha. It has to be the feeling of the body expelling something like the psichas pi amakor or the like. We'll talk about his position shortly, Bli Neder. Now, what do the poskim say? So the Rav Moshe Feinstein is choshesh for the Noda Yehuda. He says this in a number of places. One of them is Ardei Chelek Dalid, Yud Zayin Zayin, and Yud Beis, which are from the short Rabbi Eider Tshuvos, and again in your Makoro sheets. And he says, and I think part of the motivation for being machmir is that no women could anyway identify what this is. If you ask them, they show a kesem or something like that, so you need to determine if she had a hargasha. So she comes with the kesem and you say, did you have a hargasha? What's a hargasha? So you tell her, zivas davar lach. So maybe she could say yes or no to that question. But then if you start asking her, well, where was the zivas davar lach? Was it by the makor, or was it later on in the prosdor? So, as he says, lo yadua l'nashe shalanu im hargashasa kishizav hadam igufa im hum rak mea prosdor o min hamakor. They're not going to be able to answer that question anyway. But kol shekein shen yoda'as v'hargashasa im hamakor o min aliyah. And therefore, kevan shargasha zivas davar lach nechshiva hargasha, since lemais it is a hargasha, ve'en lezed din kesem eladin re'iya shehu af b'mashu hu ledina kechol hargasha b'shas yitziya me'aguf v'av shech avos tas v'anu debut adonu b'zeh anan gri'i tuva minayu. So basically, saying it doesn't make a difference nowadays between whether you hold it. You think the Noda Yehuda is right, the Chavos Das is right. No women are going to be able to be mechalik. And therefore, if they say they experienced a zivas davar lach, then you have to be machmir lemaisa, and you can't treat it as a kesem, You have to treat it as at least a safek hargasha. He points out, though, that's only when it's still inside the body. Kol zeh behergisha yitzia me'agof. Aval mash hergisha shenase bein raglah lach me'eze mashke. She feels moisture outside of her body, between her legs. So certainly that is not a hargasha, and you can apply the kulas of ksamim. Later on, in Yud Beis over there, in those short shuvos, he basically endorses the view of the Aruch HaShulchan. He writes, Ayin Shem Baruch HaShulchan, Shabir Dvar, Destan Nashim Shehen Vrios, Margishos Sheniftach Pi HaMakor, Lo Vidah, Aval Yesh, Shein Margishos Rak, B'Shas Psicha Mamish, V'HaPsicha Kala Etzlan, V'Yesh HaKasha Etzlan HaPsicha, Hainu Shelo Niftach Tekef, Shelachin Elo, Sheniftach etzlan tekef omo she'en margishos ba'psicha v'alvada hirgishu dehu tekef ba'schala zivas adam en sham v'hunachon. So he endorses the view of the Aruch HaShulchan. So what does the Aruch HaShulchan say? The Aruch HaShulchan says that even now women have hargashos. What do you mean? They say they don't. They're liars. Well, not quite. He does say that, but he doesn't really mean, nobody's intentionally lying. Nobody, Rachmana Letzlan, the Nobi Yehuda, was not Motzi Lazan, Benos Yisrael, Tahoros, Bekadoshos. It's, what they mean is that they have some feeling, but they don't associate that sensation with Dam Nida. And therefore, if you ask them if they had a Hargasha, they say no. Not because they didn't have Hargasha, but because they didn't associate, they did feel something. After all, he says, it would be very strange that for all these thousands of years, everybody had hargasha, and now all of a sudden they stopped having hargashos. They stopped paying attention to the hargashos, or noticing the hargashos. They're associating them with damnita. They're less in touch with their bodies, perhaps. But they certainly still have hargashos. He says, look, the Gemara says that if a woman is sleeping, she'll be woken up by the feeling of hargasha. And he says, moreover, he says, and most of the time when women are healthy, and this may or may not correspond to everybody's mitzvah nowadays, but this is what he says, they don't like wake up full of blood, absolutely surprised. They're not surprised because they actually do feel something. So what do you mean, why they say they're low hirgishu? Again, they're not, nobody's intentionally lying, but they don't associate that sensation that they do have in their body with hargasha, with damnida. And therefore, in reality, they still have hargashos as they always did. They just don't notice them as much. We're so busy with technology. Okay, they didn't have iPhones then, but the world was already changing. And that's what he claims. Are there any other shitos? Again, remember, what's our question, if you really, you know, our question is, why is anyone a nida midiraisa nowadays? So, another approach is taken by the Maram Shik in Yoredei Kuf Pei Dalet. And he writes that rasa bevarea kvedin aleha nechshavim hargasha v'kayamim bizman hazeh. In other words, women have all sorts of physical symptoms associated with menstruation. Her evarea kvedin aleha, she feels heavy, bloated, PMS, this, that, other things. And that's what a hargasha is. These types of physical symptoms associated with the onset of menstruation. And he writes, that's what it means, bivsara. Bivsara, in her body. It doesn't mean dafka ba'oso makom, doesn't mean in the makor. Evarak vedino. It's bivsara as well. That's also bivsara. Now, more or less, all the poskim disagree with this. Now, that is significant. We're going to talk about these when we discuss Vestos Haguf, and they might be actually Vestos Haguf. For example, Evarak Vedin, or if you have certain things that happen to your body, at least if they're associated exclusively with menstruation, they may actually be a vestos aguf. And when we get to vestos, we'll discuss that. But they wouldn't constitute a hargasha because they don't come mamish at the time of yetzias hadam, right? In other words, if, you know, people, other poskim, I think, could accept the trumas hadeshen if it was associated mamish with yetzias hadam, but it's not. Even if it wasn't mamish ba'osel machom, even if, you know, she felt something in her elbow, but it was every time the dam left the makor, she felt something in her elbow, then maybe we could consider what he's saying, that too is bivsara and the like. Maybe not, maybe yes, but there's what to talk about. But the fact is that these things, though women do feel them nowadays, they're not associated with the exact onset of menstruation, and they're much too vague. So they might be relevant in terms of vestos haguf, but that can't possibly be hargasha. That's more or less the consensus of poskim against the Maamshek. Yes. So it could be that he's saying anything counts. In other words, that might not have been the Hargasha of the Gemara that was being confused with a Bedika. You could agree with the Noda Bihuda and Zivas Davar Lach, and you could agree with the Trumas Dash and the like. But you could also say, look, anything that's Bifsara, that's associated with the onset of menstruation, would also count.
So why would we appeal to such specific cases and only those cases?
In those days they had that, but don't tell me they don't have Hargashas at all nowadays, because lots of women have PMS. That's what he's saying. But again, very big chiddush. I don't think we accept that lahalacha. Yes.
Is the Maram Shik assuming like that it's a simin of her or whatever? Raya.
Perhaps. Perhaps.
That,
so again, the Maram Shik is easier to understand the more you see our gosh as a simin. I agree. Like we're saying for the Noda Bihuda, but much bigger.
Yeah, much longer.
Right. Right. So that far, most poskim aren't willing to go. In other words, it has to somehow be more close. So the Noda Yehuda itself was a big enough chiddush, but at least that is takes place, you know, before the dam leaves the body, and it's much more concrete and specific.
But why are you assuming that
exactly what the Noda Yehuda is saying.
Why are you assuming it has to be the same?
Well, because if not, it's very hard. The Gemara seems to associate with the Hargasha, at least approximately, with the onset of dam. If it's something that happens 3 hours earlier, or 12 hours earlier, or the like, how could we call that a hargasha? Rosha Ivaresh, she gets a headache 12 hours before the onset of menstruation. How could you call that a hargasha? Even though it's perfect, every single time it happens. 12 hours after she gets a very specific type of headache, she begins bleeding. Great. But that's not a hargasha. That happened 12 hours earlier.
We know that there's
so again, the so it's very hard from the whole all the sugyas of the Gemara to imagine that that's what a hargasha is. That hargasha kataka take place 12 hours before she's down, right? The hargasha takes place for Ashitargish Bavsara, especially if you look at the drashos going on the same words. It's very hard to imagine. What other possibilities? So again, what do we have? We have the Noda Bihuda. That would explain possibly nowadays. So even nowadays, most women, many women, don't have the Zivas Davar Lach, the Maharam Shik, we have the Aruch HaShulchan. We have the Rambam. According to the Rambam, we also would understand why a woman is, right? Because any dam that's bifnim, l'malam and alul, is b'chezka shabab b'hargash. That's true. Nobody ever notices it, but we could say it's still. We have the Rid. If you learn like the Rid, so presumably you'd say anytime the dam comes from the makor, she's anida midaraisa. We have the Noda Bihuda. We have Rav Willig's understanding based off of the Rashba. And we have Rav Yashiv. And then, you know, I guess what I was calling before, the conventional explanation, which is that, you know, we have no idea what the answer is, but it must have been Hargasha if she menstruates. Right? There's no other reasonable possibility. And when it is and what it is and how come she didn't notice, it is a deep, dark mystery. But obviously it happened. Okay. Yes?
With the Noda Bihuda, Where does the idea come from? Because it seems like all the examples that the Gemara gives about Hargasha don't match the idea of feeling the relax.
Adarabba, I thought it's perfect. Meaning to say, if you assume that the feeling, the sensation of a bedika is the same or similar to the sensation of Zivas Dav Relach, it makes perfect sense, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that you would confuse the two. It's basically a feeling in the same area, something touching the walls of the vaginal canal. So that could be something, a liquid flowing down the walls of the vaginal canal, or it could be a bedika cloth touching it.
Right, but specifically the way it would, for example, the Rashi put it, you put it as Shitsi Arta. So that, you never imagine feeling something oozing down.
Yeah, sure.
Canals is a tsar. Sounds like a pressure.
I don't know. That's pressure. So, yeah. I don't know.
No?
It's more straightforward than the Tumas Hadashan. Tziata doesn't have to mean huge tsar. It could be irritation. It could be discomfort. It could be something like that, and that could be a zivas dav relach as well. Adarab, I thought, in that respect, I think the Note of Yehuda is the easiest view to explain. Yeah.
I don't know anything about the tzias, but if you combine Professor Levy's approach with, let's say, the Note of Yehuda, would that create massive chumras?
It would create chumras and kulas. We're not going to get into.
But you feel that, meaning if you're talking about the outer.
Well, not quite the outer. We don't pass them like Reish Lakish, but yeah. But I still don't know that women feel it would still be a hargasha in the vaginal canal, and I still think most women aren't feeling that. Which I don't think it changes much. It just makes it make more sense. It would solve the Chavos Das's question.
It's still not going to be much of a problem,
I don't think so. There are halachic implications of it, which we'll get to. Okay, so that's it for Hargasha. Now we're going to turn on to the next part of our siman, which is the Benos Yisrael Echmir Al Atzman, the evolution of Hilchos Nida from the way it was at Matan Torah to the way it is nowadays. So the Ramban writes the following. Ein Ha'isha Temeya Ad Shetira Dami Mekor Dameha. This is in your Makor Sheet. V'hu Hamakom Shechachamim Korino So Cheder. V'en Kol Hamashka Yotzei Min HaCheder Metame Ela Hadam Bilvad. Fine. Umaros Hayul Chachamim Shebahem Metamim Hadamim. V'chol She'enu Me'osan Hamas Metamim Osa. Then he continues. Now Tesvav. K'shenismait Liban Shel Chachamim Mipnei Kovet Hagalos V'tkifas Atzaros. You see, Agav, that this take place time of Rebbe, right? So even though they were in Eretz Yisrael, it was Begeder Galus. So when the Galus and the Tsaros overwhelmed us, Chashashu Shema Yavo Litos Bedavar Shizdono Kari Sharei Efshar Shatira Isha V'yamei Dasa Shiva Yamim V'yiya Kol V'yiya Shal Shisha Dam Tahor. So the Ramban over here, I think, is basically going to tell us two chashos. The first one is very simple. The colors are very confusing, as we'll see. Bein dam ledam, that you could have reds that midoraisa are not considered damnida, and reds that are considered damnida, it's very hard to tell the difference between the two. It needs great expertise. And due to the COVID agalos, people were no longer such experts. And imagine the following situation. Let's say she goes in and she becomes a nida, or actually, during her yamei nida, she sees blood. But she thinks this is damnida because it's red, but it's not the perfect shade of red. It's actually not damnida. So she starts counting. Day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4, day 5, day 6. Day 7, she sees another slightly different color, but also red. And then she stops bleeding. She does her half sektara that night. She goes to the mikvah, and she's with her husband. What's the problem? The problem was that day 7 was actually day 1, because days 1 through 6, though they looked red, weren't damnida. They weren't the right shade of red. And Mimela, what she thought was day 7 was actually day 1. She can't go to the mikveh for another 6 days, and she just accidentally was over on an Isser Karis. So that was concern number 1, which basically stems from the inability to distinguish between red and red. Then he continues. So, you know, even if she tries to avoid this problem, she asks every Shaila. All 6 days, she brings all of her blood, and no problem. But still, a different mistake will happen. Namely, she'll lose track of which days it is. Is this Yimei Nida, Yimei Ziva? This would be especially a problem for the Rambam. If you follow the conventional reading of the Rambam, Matt showed me yesterday a tshuva from the Rambam which supports the conventional reading against the Chavos Das's reading. But be that as it may, even for the Ramban, this was a concern. It's still confusing. You know, people get so confused about Vestos. This is also very confusing, and this is a real Darais issue. She'll get confused. Harei Shirasa B'Sof Yud Aleph Mimei Haziva Uma Charaso V'Tasa. For example, she sees day 11 of Yimei Ziva, and then the next day, V'Isasfura Shiria Rishona B'Yimei Nidos Umona Mimenu. She was 1 day off, so therefore she's going to count 7 days from that first Ri'iya. V'Ena Ru'iya Limnos Elam Yom HaMacharas Shabos Chila Nidusa. Right, really, day 1 was day 12. She thought day 1 was day 11. And this, too, will lead to an Isser Kares. So, 2 points of concern. 1 was getting confused about colors, and 2, getting confused about the cycle, the Yimei Nida Ziva days, both of which could lead to an Isser Kares. Lefika, Amad Rabbein Kadosh, Vitikein. So, here we're talking about something that took place earlier. Rabbeinu HaKadosh, this is what the Gemara refers to as the Takana for the Am Sheva Sados. Vitikin, now that word is very significant. We're going to go back to it. He was misaken. Rabbeinu HaKadosh was misaken the following. Shekol Isha, Shetira Yom Echad, Tispor Shisha Nekiyim. So anytime you see 1 day, you require Shisha Nekiyim. Vimrasa Shnayim, Tispor Shisha Nekiyim Vein. You see 2 days. After those 2 days are done, now that you do a half siktara on the second day, then you need another 6 nikiyim. Bimrasa shlosha, if you see 3 days in a row, so then teisha shiva nikiyim. Uvachol yamim shetira kach, hinidusa, hinidones, ve'enetzricha laharos dam l'chacham. This will solve both problems. She won't need a show a chacham. Velo limnos yimei nidos viziva. Right? So basically this solves 2 problems. Number 1, is the first problem of being mavchen bein dam ledam. Okay, doesn't matter because you won't run into any problems. And also, it'll solve the second problem, which is she won't have to take count whether she's Yimei Nida or Ziva, because no matter what, it would be a problem. Why? Let's just think about it. It's very simple. Let's say she sees 1 day. If it's Yimei Ziva, what does she need to do? She needs 1 yom nakiyim. Well, she has that. We're saying she needs shisha yamim nakiyim. Let's say it's Yimei Nida. So then she has to wait 6 days after this, which is also what she's going to do, right? So no matter what it is, it'll be okay. And both of the concerns that he raised earlier don't exist. Fine. So basically, it sounds like there are basically 2 gzeros here. Number 1 is that you need shisha yamim tovim, and number 2 is that we're not mavchin bein dam ladam. Like he says, ein etzricha laharos dam l'chacham. And the 2 takanos relate to the 2 concerns. That's what I thought was the simple reading of the notabi, of the Ramban. And that seems to be the way the Tur, as well as the Taz, reads the Ramban. The Beis Yosef does not seem to read the Ramban this way. The Beis Yosef seems to understand the Ramban was there's only 1 gzeira, shelo lahavchin bein dam ledam, right? This is what the Beis Yosef writes. Mishirabu agolios v'takvotzaros v'nisnatu alavavos chashu shema yavo lita os b'isar kares Echmir l'tami kol mara dam adam, kadei shelo yaval lidei taus, ben yamei nida v'yamei ziva. Afal pilo matzino b'feir shegazru, kol mara dam adam, right? It doesn't say that anywhere in Shas. Mikom makom, mide aminan b'perek, b'sof per kol ayad, d'rabi yochanan v'rabi zera, v'ula lo chazu dama, memeila shaminan shebedoros habayim lo lachzu dama. In other words, it's a Gemara in Daf Chaf. Gemara in Daf Chaf discusses how already in the Tkufa of the Amorayim there were some people that were Mavchin Bein Dam L'Dam, some of the Amorayim that weren't Mavchin Bein Dam L'Dam, and well, it doesn't say what they were, but they didn't see Maros, and some of the Amorayim changed their mind in the middle, they stopped, they were intimidated. And the Beis Yosef says, well, you know, when the Torah says over here that we stopped being mavchen dam ladam, there wasn't a formal takana in any sense. That was just that, you know, look, if Rabbi Yochanan was afraid to be mavchen, so who is going to come afterwards and do that, right? If I knew Rabbi Yochanan wouldn't do this, there's no way I'm going to do it. So at a certain point in time, presumably during the times of Chazal, I would sometime after the generations of Rabbi Yochanan. So then people stopped seeing dam, as opposed to the way that the Ramban, the way one reading of the Ramban, the way I would have read the Ramban, I think this is also the simple reading of the Tur, and other Achronim, is no, there was actually a Takana B'Yemei Rebbe not to be mavchen dam ladam. Now, that was part of Takanas Rebbe. To solve the two problems, he said two things. Number one, you always need shishinakim, anytime it's 1 or 2 days. And number two is also to be machmir for everything that's read. Now, there's a nafkamina between these two readings, which we're going to talk more about when we do Kuf Peches, but the Sidrei Tara says a nafkamina would be, would you say dam is mitzvah, suffik, whether, if you see something red, you don't know if it's one of the bad reds, if it's mitzarev to a sveik sveika. According to the Ramban, it wouldn't be, because anything red, Chazal asserted. According to the Beis Yosef, you might say that it's still begeder safek. You see something, you don't know if it's red or not. Kol shekein that. But even if it is red, you don't know what kind of red it is. Maybe if it's just because of the zahiras, not to paskin on these types of shilas, unless you're going to say it's some type of safik chesaron yediyah and you're machmir on safik chesaron yediyah l'chol ador or something like that, then it might still remain within the realm of safik and you could be mitzarif it to sveik sveik or the like. Now,
Beis Yosef quotes the Rebbe, who's quoting the Gemara, he's going to end the sadness.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're both explaining the same Gemara.
Right.
So, but it's clear from the Beis Yosef that the Beis Yosef took for granted there was no takana, formal takana about colors, right? Because he asked the question, and he makes that point. He says, "Afal pishaloma tino beferu shegazu al kol mare adam," right? In other words, it doesn't say anywhere in Shas.
That confusion. The riff put the two together.
Was Rebbe gozer? He could concede that that might have been one of the motivations for Rebbe's takana of waiting 6 days, right? Having shisha nekiyim for every maradah. But was Rebbe misakein to be machmir for every marah adam? Was that part of what Rebbe did? Or no? Rebbe said nothing about colors. Because of the concern with the confusion about colors, Rebbe was misakein to wait 6 days. Then, later 6 days for anything that's damnida, correct. And then... From the hemshech, yeah. In other words, 6 yomim nikim after every dam, even one day.
Wouldn't that have to be because you thought...
The concern was about the colors. There was a concern. Rebbe was definitely, the Beis Yosef certainly agrees that Rebbe was concerned about people confusing real red with fake red. But what was the response to that concern? So the Beis Yosef says his response was, any time you think something is dam nida, you must be machmir and have shisha nekiyim. Now, if you didn't think something was dam nida, so then, great. Rebbe said nothing about that. So if she goes to her Rav, and her Rav is mafchen bein adom la'adom, and says, this is not dam nida, great, nothing to worry about. But if she, on her own, decides that this is dam nida, when it isn't, you won't run into any problems, because since she has to have those shishinikiyim, any possible bad thing could not happen, right? That's the way the Beis Yosef. And then something else developed a little later on, right? Sometime after, the first, second generation of Amoraim, where Chachamim decided on their own, due to lack of confidence, to stop being mafchen. But that wasn't a takana. We don't see it anywhere in the Gemara, he just says. But Mistamad happened. In other words, when the tour, and the Ramban earlier, the tour is based off of this Ramban, when they refer to the not being mavchen, that wasn't a formal takana. That was just something that happened due to people's post-Gim's nervousness. Right? That's the way the Beis Yosef understands it. In which case, like I said, it could be that since it wasn't a formal takana, it's begadir safek. Now, and the truth is, it's taka, if I'm reading the Ramban correctly, that the Ramban understood that there was a formal takana on colors, on all reds, I should say. So how would the Ramban explain that Gemara on Daf Chaf on the base that talks about the Amorayim, who came after Rebbe, who seemed to continue to be paskening Shilos, right? Whereas that's a kasha on my reading of the Ramban. I think it's the simple reading of the Ramban. Perhaps you could answer that Takanas Rebbe, as the Gemara says, was for Am Shebesados, meaning to say, B'makom Shelo Hayu B'nei Torah. Now, the Ramban, the Torah, don't stress that point, perhaps because nowadays everyone is like that, but it was a Takana that was for Am Shebesados, for the Ame Ha'aretz, for places that didn't have Rabbanim. And therefore, where Rabbi Yochanan lived was not Am Shebesados. He was a great posek. Therefore, the Takana of Rebbe didn't apply in that place, but still people started being very reluctant to Paskin Shailas until Nizgal Gal Hadvarim, and nobody was willing to be Mafchen Bein Dam L'Dam. Yes? So one issue was the Girs issue, correct, as the Beis Yosef and the Nosei Kalim discuss. That's part of the issue here, correct. Okay. But there isn't a Girsa issue. No, the Girsa issues is within the tour, which is hard, doesn't really read straight. But in the Ran, oh yeah, that's a machlokas Rishonim, how to understand that Gemara. So we would be taking for granted that he's reading like Rashi, or not like Rashi. I forget who says which, but he's assuming that Am Shebesados means for Am She, right, for the Ame Haaretz.
Because the riff in the Ran, I don't think that's
what.
So
you're saying this won't work. You have to look at the Chiddush Ramban and see if that's clear, if what I'm saying is plausible. Even if you have that girsa, though, it could still mean the same thing, right? It's a location. He was misakin in a city called Svados.
The fact that Gemara mentions that implies that it wasn't universal.
Right.
If that's true, then the first Takana also is limited.
Yeah, in Achanami. Then an interesting question is when did they become universal, right? So, at the very least, by the time we accepted Chumash Reb Zeira, Chumash Rebbe was certainly included, and Chumash Reb Zeira, which we're about to talk about, was not limited in the Am Shebesados.
Doesn't that change the Chumrah of the...
Well, let's talk about it. Let's talk about Rebbe Zeira. We'll see if that's true. Most Rishonim assume that Rav Zeira, even if it originated as a minhag, was formalized as a takana. But we'll get there in just a moment.
Yeah. It just seems like the question that Rishonim...
Certainly the Ramban says that, by the way. Ramban says that explicitly, so...
At least the Ran, when he asks on the Rith that why do we need this new takana of Zeira, is assuming that it's Svados, universal. So you can't really answer that for the conventional reading of the Ramban if the Rif and the Ramban are.
No, the question would still be valid even if it's not universal, because you still have the question: why do you need to add Reb Zeira's whole level? In other words, make Rebbe universal, and that would solve all problems. In other words, which we're about to get to. Exactly, if it is the case that, I guess, brings us to the next question, which is: if it is the case that Reb Zeira solves all problems, so then why do we need anything else? So I guess we'll continue in the Ramban. Afalpi shezua takana ein ba beis mechosh, right? Nothing, there's no holes in takana's Rebbe. Hichmiru b'nos Yisrael atzman shapilu rasa yom echad dam tipa kol shehi upasa kadam so feres la shivanikim. In other words, he basically added one more day. If she sees more than 2 days anyway. It happens to be that for typical menstruation, which is going to be more than 2 days, it won't even make a difference, but it'll only make a difference if it's 1 or 2 days and then she doesn't have Sektara. But still, to require Shiva Nikim, why? Bein Shirasa Beis Nidasa, Bein Shirasa Yom Echad. Why is this? Mipnei Maich Miru Benos Yisrael Atzman Kach. Kidei, Sheyu B'chol Zman Monos Minyan Echad. V'lo Tishtanim In Hagan Bein Ria Achas Legimel Yamim. In other words, the Maila of Reb Zeira is that it's always the same, always. Even within Rebbe, it's still a bit confusing. Sometimes Shishanikim, sometimes Shivanikim. With the Chumra Reb Zeira, it's always Shivanikim. Hare, Shirasa Shloshi Yamim, Vinasa Zavis, Chila Vesafra Ad Shishanikim, Mirasa Beshvi, Tipa Kachardal, Vada Itzricha Le Sheva Leha, Shivanikim. And then he adds another factor, which is you do actually have a situation where a woman sees tipas dam kechardal, and that would require a whole new shiva nikiyim. When is that? If there's stira, right? If a woman is in the middle of her shiva nikiyim, or the end of her shiva nikiyim, the last day of her shiva nikiyim, she sees one tiny drop of blood. That's so sir the Shiva Nikim, she has to start all again, she needs a whole new Shiva Nikim, right? So that being the case, since you can have a situation where Tipas Dam could require Shiva Nikim, then to go ahead and have the situation where sometimes it's Shisha and sometimes it's Shiva, and sometimes Tipas Dam is Shisha and sometimes Tipas Dam is Shiva, that's confusing, and the Chumra Reb Zeira solves all that problems. It's, Nida for dummies. Everybody always does the same thing, always, and there's no reason for confusion. And then the Ramban says, even though that originated as a minhag, chumrazu, shenagu benos Yisrael, hochshu b'nei chachamim, it was accepted, it was beautiful, v'asu osah halacha psuka b'chol makom. So A, psuka, it's not just a minhag, and also he says b'chol makom, not just besados. They made it everywhere. Lefikach, aser laadam lahakel ba rosho leolam, no matter what, right? It's a takana, kivua, psuka, and the like. That is the view of Ramban. Rashi in Megillah Chaf Ches Amud Beis also discusses why in the world they would have made the takana or the chumra Reb Zeira, if after all Rabbi's takana helps, and. He says two things. Bim Tomar, lo yachmiru ela begimel ritzufim, right? And that should be enough. So the first answer, he says, is because, like we saw in the Ramban, that there is a scenario where seeing one day could require Shiva Nikiyim, namely Stira Shiva Nikiyim. Inami, Shemarasa Shnei Yamim Velo Yada. The Hayom Rasa Vyada Dehava Lehu Shlosha Yamim Ritzufim. Vitzricha Shiva Nikiyim. Valkei Nechmiru Adol Nuchshash. This one we haven't seen so far. A woman sees Dam. Okay? She sees a lot of Dam. But she still thinks this is her first day of seeing Dam. In reality, she saw the Dam left her Makor 2 days ago and 3 days ago. Kosle Beis HaRecham HaMiduah. She didn't notice it until today, But really, this is her third day, so really she's a Zavag Dola. She thinks she's a Zavag Tana. If all we had was Takanas Rabbi, she would have Shisha Nakiyam, when in reality, she needs Shiva Nakiyam, and that is the second reason. Other Rishonim, like the Ritva, don't like this. That seems like a very far-fetched concern. There might be evidence in other places that we don't do this. Some Rishonim, we'll get back to this point a little later, like the Ravid, thinks the Chumer Zeres Kolo all Dam, not just Dam Nida, but also Dam Besulim and Dam Maka. That's why he says Kol Haroa Tipas Dam Kechardal, meaning say even if you know it's Minat Stadim. Some Rishonim understand Kechardal meaning yellow. That's part of the Chumer Zera. We'll get back to the Shitos a little later. The Rush, though, rejects this Ravid. We'll talk about this Ravid when we talk about either Dam Besulim or Dam Maka. We'll talk about the yellow when we talk about their colors. There are a number of different Rishonim, though, who have some very fascinating interpretations. But one way or the other, the question we have to discuss, and this will be the last discussion for today, is whether it was a takana. Okay, most likely Nagu Benos Yisrael started off as a minhag, but was it ever codified as a formal takana? So, if you take a look at the Rush and the Rif, it's pretty clear that it was a takana, and in fact they bring a raya from the Gemara in Brachos Daf Lamed Aleph. The Gemara over there says Ein Omdim Lispalel Ela Mitol Halacha Psuka. Right, in other words, you don't want to study a confusing, contentious halacha right before your daven. Your mind will be a mevulbo. So we start with the halacha psuka. And what's an example of halacha psuka? Chumra de Rebbe Zeira. So the fact that we call Rebbe Zeira halacha psuka, that certainly indicates that it was a formal takana. That's what the Rush makes that claim. Other Rishonim also make it quite clear it was a formal takana. The Ritva, for example, Samach Vav Adalev says, V'asu osa takana, pashat yisura b'chol ha'olam. Mashmos of Tos Islamic Gimel Adalev is that way, Tikon Reb Zera. It's not clear, by the way, when it takes place. That might be a little different, because the Rush proves that B'yimei Rava was still Lonis Pashat Adayin, even though it was earlier. Now the Rambam also does quote this halacha of it being a psuka. In fact, he tells you what they used to say before davening in the siddur of the Rambam. It's very interesting at the end of Hilchos Sefer Ava, the Rambam siddur, and he tells you, and in certain Sephardi shuls they still do this, though they don't do Reb Zeira that I've ever heard, but maybe, I don't know, you have to find out what they do in a Yemenite shul. So Nagu Am Lekros B'chol Yom B'Shachar Achash Akorin Parshas Sav U'Parshas Kohanim Korin Mishnah Zu Eilu Dvarim She'en Lam Shiur HaPeah V'Abikurim. And he goes on. And then, after that lovely Mishnah, Amr B'Zeira B'Nos Yisrael L'Chmiel Atzman Shafil Rose Tipas Dam Gechardot Yoshvos Aleshev Nekim. Then go on with other nice, lovely psukim. Tanu Daliyahu Kol Hashana Halachas Muftach Loshana Labava Amr Lazar Mechanina Talmid Chamim Amr Shalom Ba'Olam. Right, the whole list of nice, very inspirational, fluffy halachos, and right in the middle is Chumra de Reb Zeira. So in the Shirei Shevet Alevi, he says, from here you see that the Rambam also holds it was a halacha psuka, it was a takana, it wasn't just a minhag. Now, the problem with saying that is that if you look at the Rambam's Mishneh Torah, he always seems to stress that it is a minhag. In Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Gimel and Dalid, he stresses Od Hechmir Benos Yisrael Al Atzman Chumra Yisayir El Zu V'Nagu Kulam B'chol Makom. And this isn't like the minhag in the beginning of Mamrim that the Chachamim Hinigul. It says Chumra. It says Benos Yisrael Hinigul Atzman. Likewise, in Yisurei Bia, Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Tes, Kol Dvar Me'elu Chumra Yisayir Shenagu B'Benos Yisrael Mimei Chach Mei Talmud. He doesn't ever say that it's a takana. And I don't know if this is so much of a raya, but the Rambam doesn't apply Chumra de Reb Zeira for Ksamim. Right? He thinks that for Ksamim you don't need to have Shiva Nakiyim. which would mean if you pass it like the Rambam, which we don't, you'd still have to keep track of your Yemei Nida and Ziva for purposes of examen, which might also indicate that it's not a formal takana, and that's why we're still mechalek. So, I think the Pashas of the Rambam, against what Rav Osner writes, is that it's a minhag. Obviously, it's a minhag that has to be observed, but it's still begadir minhag. We'll talk about next time if there's nafkaminas to that. But what about his kasha? Why do we include it in the end of tefillah, or in the beginning of tefillah? So, I don't think anyway it's a kasha. Okay? But if you think it's a kasha, I'll say, well, so either way, I guess you could ask, even if it is, like, why do they Ephes include this? So I thought, finish this year, I'll derech hadrush. There's all these nice inspirational things, called Shon Halachas Mechol Yom, and Eil Dvarim She'en Lam Shiur, and then we have Reb Zeira. So why do we include it? Reb Zeira is such an inspirational thing, right? Imagine, Chomer de Reb Zeira, this is so hard. It's so hard for the women to do this. It makes their lives so much more difficult. And still, Hechmir al-Atzman, because they were so worried about being over on an Isser, so they accepted upon themselves, you know, what the Chachamim said wasn't even enough. They were even more Zahiros. What an inspirational thing. So when we talk all about these inspirational things, we include that V'nos Yisrael, Hechmir al-Atzman, Shafil Yoshua Tzipas Adam Kechardo. Okay. So the question I'm going to ask now, but we'll Be'ezras Hashem address next time, is the following. If, in fact, it is the case that there are some Rishonim that hold that it is a minhag and not a formal takana, might that have any implications for halacha? And some poskim argued that it did when you have an extreme shas hadchak. When you have extreme shas hadchak, there are times that we say we could be makel on minhagim, makom ki agavne lo nagu. We say this in many areas in halacha. We'll see it next time. And one place where some poskim argued for it was in what's known as orthodox infertility. Orthodox infertility is when a woman's cycle is very short and she basically can't get to the mikvah before she ovulates. And the question is, could you be makel because of this shas hadchak? So we'll talk about that next time, Be'ezras Hashem.